Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Amen. Amen. Well, yes, I'm the other Chris. Some have referred to me as the younger, shorter, hairier Chris, and that is me. That is me. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I want to share with you one of my favorite movies. It's actually from the 90s. It's a Disney movie, but it is not a cartoon. It stars a younger Ben Stiller, and it's called Heavyweights. And Ben Stiller's character, his name is Tony Perkis, and it's about a movie of teen boys who go to this fat camp, and they're subject to endure the extreme torture of healthy food and excessive exercise. And Tony Perkis is a little overboard and overly zealous with his expectations for these campers, and he has them on these outrageous diets and these extreme workout plans. Well, the teen boys get this idea to overthrow Tony Perkis so that they can do whatever they want, however they want, and eat whatever they want, and live out the summer camp to their own extremes and ideas. Well, once they overthrow Tony Perkis, they begin to live this newfound freedom of eating and doing whatever they want. And there's a scene in the movie where it's nightfall and you see fireworks just going off. And I'm not talking about the ones you buy from the stands, but like something from Disneyland just going off, and there's music, and you see this pizza guy coming in delivering dozens of pizzas. And then you see this guy coming in with like the sandwich is like 9 feet long, holding it above his head like this. And then it flashes forward a little bit, and you see these overweight teen boys shirtless just throwing around marshmallows and chocolate syrup just going everywhere, and kids just shoving whole slices of pizza in their mouth all while dancing around. And it's just pure chaos. And the next morning, the boys, they wake up in this field, some of the kids sleeping on pizza boxes left over from the night before, rolling over and moaning. It was kind of like this like food hangover, if you will. And one of the camp counselors gets in front of them, and he says, "Who wants to tell us a lesson we learned here?" And one of the boys sits up and says, "Don't put Twinkies on your pizza," is what he says. Chaos happens when ultimate freedom exists without any bounds. I moved out of my parents' house when I was 19. I was young and dumb. I say I was young and dumb because it was the worst financial decision I've ever made. And parents, don't be upset with me, but I tell all your kids to live at home as long as they can, because you could save a lot of money that way. But I was 19 and I moved out. Why? Because I wanted freedom. And I wasn't growing up in a horrible situation by any means. I grew up in a great family. But so I got this roommate, and he was a literal roommate because we shared an actual room together, because it's all we could afford, this small one-bedroom apartment. And it was all in the name of freedom, all because we wanted freedom. And it was cool, but it was also weird not having my parents around telling me things like, clean your room, take out the trash, when are you coming home, who are you hanging out with, feed the dog, clean the bathroom. There wasn't any of that. And I love my parents, and I'm thankful that they had all those rules for me today. At the time, I didn't realize why they had those, but now I know. But I moved out and no longer had my parents saying any of those things to me. I had what I considered to be freedom. That freedom soon turned to chaos and disorder when our kitchen started looking pretty gross with its sticky countertops and dirty floors. It got to a point where no one even wanted to walk into the kitchen without shoes on, because you'd be walking out of there with either crumbs or pieces of cereal stuck to your socks or bare feet. And so, you guys are probably thinking, Chris, you're a disgusting person. And I was. I mean, I still probably am. You can ask my wife. She can vouch for me. But my room, or my side of the room, also was looking pretty disgusting. And there were clothes and books and notes just scattered around. I didn't even know what clothes were clean or dirty. I just kind of hoped for the best. But freedom was too much. Freedom was too much. Because life without bounds, rules, or guidelines is just chaos and disorder. When all you have is freedom, all you have is chaos. Without anything binding, guiding, or directing on how to do things, it gets out of control. In the Christian life, with only liberty, with only freedom, without anything binding, guiding, or directing it, can get chaotic and destructive. Tonight, we're going to look at the church in Galatia, and we're going to see that Paul told them that they have liberty, that they have freedom. We will see that we have liberty and we have freedom, but just because we have that liberty, there still should be something guiding us, something to keep the chaos and destruction from happening, something just to ensure that we stay on the right path while we live with freedom. We're going to talk tonight about how to live with freedom and what that means for us, and we'll also be talking about what we need to run alongside with freedom. So if you can open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 for me, that would be awesome. And we're going to read all the way through 15. It says, for you, brethren, have been called. Sorry, I lost my spot already. That's a good sign. Sorry. For you, my brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Paul starts off our text tonight by saying, for you, brethren, have been called into liberty. Last I checked, we live in the United States of America. And what is America known for? Freedom, right? For a while, we wanted to call French fries freedom fries. I don't know where that came from or went, but we don't have it anymore. And we get to be free. We are called to be free. Most of you drove here tonight, and it is the possibility that one or two of you got pulled over for speeding on the way over here tonight. It's possible, right? And so if that was you, and the officer comes up to your window, and you roll your window down, and he says, why were you speeding? And you could say, trying to get to church. I guarantee you, none of you were arrested tonight because you were on your way to church, because we live in America, land of the free. You all get to take your Bibles into local coffee shops and read them without being kicked out, because we live in America. It's a wonderful thing. If you want to go down to the pier and protest Justin Bieber, you can do that. You live in America. You have freedom of speech. You can do that. We are called to be free here in America, and it's a wonderful thing. But what we see here, Paul says, you were called to have liberty. You have freedom, as Paul is telling these people that he's talking to. And this is a big thing, because for the Galatian people, they felt they never had liberty and freedom because they had to uphold all of the law. And that was their way of being close to God. They had to do all of these things. And it was impossible to keep all the laws, but they tried. And so Paul was telling them that the law has nothing on you. You have liberty. You have freedom through Christ. And that's the point of the book of Galatians, to show that Christ came to destroy the law, to set the captive free. Not to bind people, but to provide a new way of living. And we see Paul speaking this radical message to these people, this radical message about liberty. Now, telling someone that the law has nothing on them and that they are free can be a dangerous thing, as you heard through my two examples with the movie and my apartment situation. It can be a dangerous and chaotic thing. I surveyed some of your junior high students a couple weeks ago. Who's the parent of a junior higher in here? All right, so chances are they answer these questions. I asked them, I said, if there were no laws and you can do whatever you want, what would you do? And this was exciting to ask them. I was really anxious for the responses. First girl raises her hand and she says, I would jump off the pier. And I thought, that's awesome, because I want to do that. The only thing stopping me is the law, is that $500 fine. And so I thought about it, I really have. And so then another boy raises his hand and he says, I would shave my dad's head. And I thought, whoa, okay, that's all right. And then a girl raises her hand and says, I would just drive. And I thought, okay, it's a good thing junior hires do not have driver's licenses. I'm glad. And then finally one boy speaks up and says all the things that we all were thinking. He says, I would rob all the banks and steal everything from Target. And so we see here that it gets dangerous quickly. It gets chaotic very fast. These kids, these four junior hires answered this question. Not one of them was like, oh, I'd go and give everything I have to everybody in the world. If I could do anything, that's what I would do. It was, what's the most chaotic thing we can do? You see, chaos happens when we are given ultimate freedom and liberty. And so Paul is going to address how to keep things from getting crazy, how to keep things from getting out of control. So 13, it says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. And then he says, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Another translation says, do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. He's giving us a warning because he knows how chaotic things can get. He's saying that just because you have freedom, it does not give you reason to do whatever you want to do. You can't go around and shaving people's heads and robbing banks. You can't. And then, because the nature of people is to sin. We can look back at the very beginning of the good book, and we see the first two people there, Adam and Eve, and we see that it wasn't until very long until they caved into that nature. Fast forward just a little bit. We see their children, Cain and Abel. One brother killing another. Who taught Cain how to kill because he was jealous? Where did that idea come from? Well, it was a sinful nature. It was built inside of him. I have a nephew who's almost a year old. He'll be a year old next week. I love the little guy. He's not here tonight because he's no longer quiet, but very loud. And I heard that he actually punched my sister, who's his mom, in the face because he didn't want to be in her arms. And I thought, who taught this innocent little boy to hit his mom? Like, where does that come from? My sister's back there laughing. And I think, where does that come from? Where did he learn that? And the other day, he was over at my apartment, and I was watching him, and I was watching as he stands up against my coffee table, and I have like DVDs and bills and pictures on there and all kinds of random nonsense. And I watch him as he stands on the coffee table and picks up every little item off of there and looks at it and just throws it. Looks at it, throws it this way, behind him, in front of him, everywhere but where he picked it up from. All these things land. And I think, who taught this little boy how to be destructive? He's 11 months old. Well, as much as I love my nephew, he's a little sinner. It's true. And as much as God loves me, as much as God loves you, we're still sinners. The nature of people is to sin, and that's why Paul gives this warning here. He says, do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Paul's saying, just because you have this newfound freedom, that doesn't mean now that you can go ahead and do whatever you want, whenever you want. Because if people all did whatever they wanted, we would see much more chaos today than we already do. We turn on the news, and it's almost like we're shocked. Well, why are we shocked? We shouldn't be shocked. That's the nature of people. Now imagine if every single one of us were living that same way. It'd be so much more chaotic and destructive. We would see disorder everywhere. We would truly see the nature of people happening. And that's why Paul gave this warning. And I want you to start thinking about this idea of this liberty and how much it cost. Throughout my 26 years of living, I have found two things, just two things to be free. The first one is air. I've never walked into or outside of a building and been charged for the air that I'm breathing. That's not to say it can't happen. But the other thing that I found to be free is salvation. Other than that, I don't know of any other thing that exists to be free. Some of you guys have seen those pop-up ads that show up on your computer that seem to be on every page of the internet that say something along the lines of, shoot the apple off of this guy's head and win a free iPod. How many of you guys have seen that? Something along those lines. Do this and you will get something for free. Believe it or not, and I swear on everything that's holy that I've gotten that item. I've gotten multiples of those items. My sister can tell you about them when I was having iPods and PlayStations and even $400 checks sent to my house because I went ahead and did those things. Let me tell you, they're not free. They're discounted, and it takes work. It's not free. Nothing in life is truly free except for salvation. And this liberty here that Paul is talking about isn't free either. We live in a country that is free from oppression, thankfully. But it is only free because men and women decide to serve in the military to protect this nation. Those who go and will fight against anyone who threatens to take away that freedom. And freedom in America is not free. And freedom in our Christian lives certainly is not free either. You see, Paul was so strong about this message of freedom and liberty, but living within these certain guidelines because he loved Jesus. Because Paul knew how that liberty was paid for. And Paul doesn't want anyone taking advantage of this liberty that he's talking about. Because of the price that liberty cost. That liberty and freedom only exists because Christ died. In the greatest act of love ever, Christ offered himself as a living sacrifice to be able to free his people from sin and to be able to provide them with this liberty we speak of. This freedom cost an innocent man his life. And I bring up that this freedom isn't free because when we get this idea that we can do whatever we want, whenever we want, it's like we forget that we only have freedom because of Jesus. And Jesus didn't die so that we can go cause chaos and destruction. Instead, Jesus died so that we can have liberty to be set free from the chains of sin and so that we can love. I like it when instructions are clear and dummy-proof. I don't know about you, but I love it. Because sometimes I open the instructions to something, and if I see that it's just a long list or like lots of steps and kind of chaotic, I either toss the instructions aside and say, I will figure this out myself, and I don't know if that's my manly, ridiculous nature, or what it is, or I'll say, I'm going to get to this later on, and later on never comes. But I love it when instructions are clear and dummy-proof. I found this ad on Craigslist for these free used bricks the other day. And there are 8 steps to this. First, he says, bricks are in the back of a trailer at this address in Anaheim. And 1, it says, only take the bricks. 2, only take the bricks. 3, only take the bricks. 4, you guessed it, only take the bricks. 5 says, do not take the trailer. 6 says, you must take all the bricks. 7 says, do not knock on my door. 8 says, only take the bricks. The instructions here are pretty clear, right? It's very easy to understand. And I love stuff like that, easy to understand, because I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed nor the brightest crayon in the box. So when it's easy to understand, it's awesome. And so if we look at the Bible here on how we're supposed to live life with freedom, it's really easy to understand. Check out the end of verse 13. After Paul says, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, he says, but through love, serve one another. But through love, serve one another. Instead of being bound by rules, we have something to guide us and direct us. We aren't left with liberty and said, good luck. Parents, how many of you have left your child alone from the house from time to time? Maybe for the afternoon while you run to the store, or maybe they get home before you do from work or whatever. But you guys, probably most of you left your child, if you've got an older one, maybe like we're talking 11, 13, 14, have left them at home. How many of you would leave your child at home alone with ultimate freedom and then tell them, good luck? We will be back soon. We love you, honey, as you walk out the door. None of you have ever done that because you know the house will get turned upside down. You know it. It's going to happen. You would come back home to find your youngest son or daughter duct taped to the wall because that's what happens when they have ultimate freedom without any bounds or guidelines. So Paul tells the people, hey, you are free. Don't abuse the freedom to sin, but instead serve each other in love. Just because you have freedom doesn't mean you get to live however you choose. We are called to serve one another in love, and we are given a very clear set of instructions on how to live with liberty and freedom. We are given instructions to serve one another in love. And I love how Paul made the instructions so clear. He didn't say, serve one another and call it a day. He said, but through love, serve one another. Paul added that part for a reason, and I'm certainly glad that he did, because you and I know that it's entirely possible to serve without love. It's very easy to do anything feeling angry or frustrated. I worked 7 years of my working career in restaurants, and most of those 7 years was spent with my job title being server. And let me tell you, there were hundreds, maybe even thousands of tables that I served where I walked up to the table with a big smile on my face, just like this one, but with pure anger and frustration inside of me. Angry and frustrated for those people that I was serving because they wanted their steak cooked the wrong way or they wanted to complain about who knows what. But it's very, very easy, impossible to serve without love. And that's why I'm glad that Paul gave the instructions the way that he did. We are called to serve in love. We are free, but here's how we keep that freedom in check: by serving in love. You see, Jesus provided us with freedom because he had one thing. What was that one thing? Jesus had love. The Bible tells us that God is love. And because of that love, Jesus died so that we can all be free from the bondage of sin. Without love, why would he do what he did? An innocent man who had the most amount of freedom than anybody who's ever walked this earth goes and dies for the wrongdoings of other people. Why would he do that? Well, because he had love. Because he loved so much that he had to die. We are called to pay that love forward. Jesus showed us love and then gave us his love by offering salvation to his people, to you and I. And we are called to pay that love forward, to give love because Christ gave us love. Paul tells us that we need to pay the love forward, is what he's saying here. That is how you keep freedom in check. We have freedom, but what guides and directs and keeps chaos from happening is giving that love, is paying that love forward. Well, who are we called to pay the love to? In 14, it says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor. We're supposed to love our neighbor. That's who we give that love to. That's who we serve in love, is our neighbor. We pay it forward to our neighbors. Who is your neighbor, you ask? Well, the word neighbor comes from the Greek word plesion, which means near or nearby. So not just the person sitting in the neck to the left or the right of you, not the person who works in the office cubicle behind you or across the way, not the person who lives to the left or right of your house or apartment, but to everybody who's nearby you. Everybody you come into contact with at any given time who is nearby you is your neighbor. That's a lot of people. I go to the swap meet and there are a bunch of people around me. Those are my neighbors. I'm called to serve those people. That's a lot of people. I go to Disneyland, there's even more people. That's a lot of people that we are called to serve. And those are the people that you and I are called to love. Well, how do we love them? Once again, the instructions are very clear. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Just as we love ourselves, that is how much we are supposed to love these people who are nearby us at any one given time. And these aren't the words from Paul. Paul was quoting the great commandment that Jesus spoke of when the Pharisees came to him and said, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus replied, he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and the second is just like it." Jesus said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." This is a commandment from Jesus, not from Paul. What does that mean? How much do we love ourselves? How much do you love yourself? Enough to take care of yourself to make sure that your wants and needs are met. Enough to make sure that when you get cut open, that you take care of your wound. You bandage it, you clean it out. Why do you do that? Because you love yourself. When you're hungry, what do? You walk over to the pantry, you open it up, you look for something to eat, and you find something, and you feed yourself. Why? Because you love yourself. If you want new clothes, a new car, a new house, it's because you feel like, I need something to satisfy me. Because you love yourself. And I'm not trying to bash on anybody who's got those new clothes, that new house, or the new car, because I love myself a lot too. I'm there with you. We love ourselves a lot. When you really start to look at it and think about how much I love myself, you're going to be shocked. And the real crazy thing is that's how we're supposed to love the people nearby us. The same way that we love ourselves. We are called to love those people all around us just as much as we love ourselves. And that can be really tough. That can be really, really tough. Tough because you know people who can be real mean. Tough because some of you have annoying coworkers. I don't, thankfully. It's Pastor Allen back there looking at me. I don't have any annoying coworkers. But it's tough sometimes to love all the people who are nearby us. Tough because you have friends who might talk behind your back. Tough because you have people who make fun of you, even to your face. Tough because you know that your neighbor yells at his kids and then chews at his wife for no good reason. It's tough to love people like that. Tough because you know that person doesn't deserve love. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight that neither do you. Neither do I. You see, Christ reached out his hand and extended his love even to you, the sinner, even to me, the sinner. We don't deserve love. Yet he reaches out his hand and says, "Take this, my love, giving this to you." We are called to love all those people around us just as much as we love ourselves. I encourage you tonight to really think about how much you love yourself. I encourage you tonight to think about how chaotic and destructive things might be if you have too much freedom without love. I encourage you tonight to think about the people who God has put nearby or near you in your life that you are called to love just as much as you love yourself. You see, there's a reason why these passages are linked together. If you look at verse 15, we'll see the reason why. It says, "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." Paul says if you keep on going biting and devouring each other, he's not talking about like the zombie type of thing or anybody actually biting anybody else. He's talking about when the church decides to get savage. He's talking about when a church decides to not show God's love anymore, to just have freedom and liberty, what happens is things turn very chaotic. When God's people who are called to show love no longer want to show that love, but instead want to live out their own agenda, their own wants and desires are the only things that will be met, not the wants and the desires of the people around them. It turns chaotic. It turns into destruction. And Paul here giving us a very clear warning, once again, because he says, beware. He says, "But if you bite and devour one another, beware, lest you be consumed by one another." A warning against the destruction. You will be consumed by one another. Another translation says, you will be destroyed by each other. When the church decides to live out freedom and liberty without love, we get destruction. We get brother versus brother, sister versus sister. We get the church against each other. When the church is against each other, how can it show the love of Christ to the people outside these doors? Can't. We've got to live with love. We take these things called freedom and liberty, and we start pulling them together with us. We take the other thing, love, and we walk forward, and we combine the two, and that is how we stay in check. How do we live with freedom and liberty? We live in love with each other. We serve each other in love. Paul wanted the people to know that there is freedom, that Christ provided freedom for everybody, but with that freedom, we need to be guided by paying that love forward. I'm going to wrap up here with a story continuing on of my moving out experience. I had this roommate, and I was about to move back home. My moving out experience lasted 9 whole months, but I was about to, I didn't have any more money, but I was about to move back home, and so I thought, I'm going to just wreak havoc on this guy's life and just play pranks. I used to be super evil, and Chris Lang could tell you about how I've destroyed his house many times when he's my youth pastor, but I used to just be mean, and so I pulled this series of pranks. I'm not going to go into great detail about the first one, but I can tell you that it involved X-lax, and you're probably thinking, Chris, you should not be teaching junior hires. But the second one was, this is probably one of my favorites, was I took beef bouillon cubes, and I took apart the shower head, and I stuffed those beef bouillon cubes in the shower head, and I put it all back together. I did a little test run to see what it looked like. It was like top ramen broth just coming out of the shower. And so this one morning, my roommate, he had this early Saturday morning class, and Friday night, I'm in there tinkering in the shower head. He's asleep because he had to be up at 5:30 in the morning, and I hear him get in the shower, and I just hear like this scream, and he comes like running in the room like half wet, and I hope he had a towel on, I don't even know, but he runs into the room. He's like, there's something wrong with the plumbing. What's going on? I said, I don't know, dude. It's 5:30 in the morning. It's Saturday morning. I'm sleeping. Well, he got this stuff like all over him, and he said as much as he showered and rinsed off, it still smelled like beef bouillon, even while he was sitting in class. I tell you that because without any bounds, without anything guiding in you, things get destructive really quickly. Without my parents telling me, hey, that's a bad idea, things get destructive very, very quickly. My fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, be careful with freedom and liberty. That is what Paul was trying to say. I know that I too have taken advantage of the freedom that we have in Christ. Without being careful, it ends in chaos. It ends with those messy kitchens. It ends with that night of eating junk food. It ends with the church being savage with each other. And if we are savage with each other, we cannot walk out those doors and preach the good news. We cannot live out the call that we are supposed to be living out. We are called, brothers and sisters, to put on love, to show love to all the people. Everybody that God has put in your life at any one given time who is around you, you are called to love that person as much as yourself. We are called as people who have liberty and freedom to be guided and directed by love. Let's pray.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.